Friends, we are discussing now the chapter 4, which covers some important areas where the trade can be developed without much hesitation. That is, free trade zone, offshore banking unit, and international financial services centers. These are the new concept. These are the new concept which helps to develop the trade, international trade, particularly export trade. Okay? Now, to cover up this, we have taken into consideration for our discussion banking facilities made available to these areas, these zones. Then free port and free trade zones, what it is exactly, what are the benefits of it, then what is meant by offshore banking unit, and offshore banking unit in OBU in the special economic zones, and finally the international financial service centers, which in the country is recently established at Ahmedabad in Gujarat. Free trade zone is a specific class of the special economic zones. Okay. Geographical area which is landmarked is for the goods which may be stored, handled, manufactured, or reconfigured, or refurbished, or re-exported under the specific custom regulations. And generally, it is not subject to the customs duty. That is most important. To develop India, make in India, it is a great initiative taken by this government. It is now a time to think and make the necessary changes to fulfill the business outcome out of the country, in our country. Free trade zone or free economic trade zones, FEZ, have become increasingly important as developing countries and which seeks to attract the more foreign exchange, foreign investment, and to promote the trade growth. Offshore banking unit, that is OBU, is a financial service unit. Normally, it is a branch or a subsidiary of non-resident bank, which plays an intermediary role between non-resident borrower and the lender. Generally, offshore banking unit, that is OBU, is located in an international financial service center, or in case of India, it is found in special economic zone also. This OBU unit is allowed to accept the deposit from the foreign bank, which generally other AD banks are not permitted to, from some offshore banks that permits the deposits and other offshore banking units, and the OBU may make a loan to the non-resident companies as well. The activities of offshore banking are not subject to the local restriction, even though they are in the same country. And it might be the foreign exchange or other banking activities are not applicable to them. Indian banks, particularly public sectors and some private sector banks, which are authorized to deal in foreign exchange, are eligible to set up these IBUs. Each eligible bank would be permitted to establish only one OBU in each IFSC, with a view to enabling the IBU to start with their operation, parent bank will require to contribute as initial capital of $20 million. However, the minimum prescribed regulatory capital, including for the exposure of the IBU, shall be maintained on ongoing basis at the parent level. Now, the banking facilities which will be offered for these OBUs, and for the traders, the Indian merchants, those who are in the manufacturers, which are already engaged, and those who are intending to engage itself to enter into the foreign trade, banks can render the assistance in a number of ways. Exporters and importers in India, banker can provide the names, address, and status report as to the creditworthiness and also the ability to fulfill the contract of overseas buyer and seller of the goods they want to export to the export and import from. When Indian exporter and importer goes abroad on the business promotion, okay? Purpose of export promotion and the spot studies, as well as the foreign buyers, visit to the foreign buyers, preference of the foreign buyers of the manufacturing, packaging, or maybe advertising techniques, which will be followed by the sellers in concessional terms. Bankers can give an instruction to his correspondent in the countries concerned to render such a help and advice to the exporters or importers that may be needed abroad. Banker may also, wherever required, provide the names and address of the foreign firms and organizations which may be interested in joint venture in India also. So there will be attract the foreign inflow, foreign funds inflow, foreign capital inflow. Importers in particularly, bankers can collect the import bills which are drawn on them and arrange the remittances abroad in payment thereof. Exporters, the bankers may render the agency services by collecting their foreign bills, covering the exports made by them and realizing the proceeds thereof in due course of time. Bankers can also provide to the importers and exporters information about exchange control regulation, import license procedure to be followed by them, etc. Now, free port or free trade zones. What is this free port? Free port is a port which is declared by the government of the country in which it is located. This free port, ships belongs to any of the country, may load and unload the cargo without having to pay any customs or any other duties. That is why it is more important. Similarly, this free port zone may be declared a free trade zone with a view of getting the benefit of the free trade with other countries also. Free trade zone is an area which is created within the country that does not allow the trade barriers. So, the trade barriers include but not limited to the quotas, tariff, high taxes and foreign books. Remember these words, quotas, tariff, taxes, these we have already seen in our first chapter. Okay? Now, having understood free port zone or free zone, we have to now understand free trade zones. Now, this free trade zone helped to build the economic reduction in the trade barriers, and once the business move into the free trade zone and develop the area, then needs employees. So more people in the free trade zone are employed. So creating the employment. Employment has a direct influence on state of the areas of the economy. Okay? Some business use the free trade zones as areas of manufacturing, while others use the zone for selling their merchandise. Manufacturing in free trade zone, and the business is able to ship the product elsewhere without additional payment. By selling the merchandise in the area, the business can import to the area without paying the tariff. Free trade zone, free trade warehousing zone, are the special category of the special economic zone, where the services can be offered, like delivery of the cargo, one stop for the custom clearance, then integrated solution, packaging management, sorting, inspection, re-invoicing, then stepping and kitting, assembly of components, or the complete the semi knock down the kits, and taxation benefits. Basically, this free trade zone, free trade warehousing zone, is special category of the special economic zone with focus on trading and warehousing. How this concept came into, what is this concept? Free trade warehousing zone is a concept, is nothing but it is a sanitized zone. In short, you can say that, sanitized zone. So, the designated as a foreign territory for carrying on the business. Okay, this FTWZ is a world-class infrastructure for warehousing the various kinds of the product, handling and transportation of equipment. Commercial office space is made available to them. Telecom, power and other water supplies, everything will be freely made available to them. It is a one-stop clearance of all the import and export of goods. Similarly, free trade warehousing zone would be a key link to the logistic and the global supply chains servicing both India and globe. Having understood the concept, let us see what is the objective of FTWZ. Objective. First objective is to create trade-related infrastructure to facilitate the import and export of the goods and services with the freedom to carry out the trade transaction in free currency. Okay? Then, this particular FTWZ scheme, it creates the world-class infrastructure for warehousing of various products, state-of-the-art equipments are provided, transportation and handling facilities are available, commercial office space is made available, water, power, communication and connectivity, with one-stop clearance with import and export formality to support the integrated zone as international trading hub, all in one shop. These zones are planned to establish in the areas which are proximate to the either seaport or airport, or it may be dry port also, so that it can offer easy access by the road and rail. Free trade FTWZ are very essential for the logistic infrastructure, so as to facilitate export import trade, that is Exim trade, to route out the inefficiencies associated with the movement and the valued addition of the Exim cargo in India. When we understood the benefit, when we understood the concept and working, let us understood the benefits of the imports into India through FTWZ. Quality control prior to the duty payment, hence no duty to be paid on the rejected product. Okay? Then, exemption of SAD, VAT and CST. These are the taxes our import through the FTWZ services. These are exempted. Handling transportation from the containers from the port to FTWZ, there will be no handling charges. And there is made available the container storage yard with the world-class safety and hazardous storage, which is maintained for the repair facility within the FTWZ with service tax exemption. Free foreign exchange transactions, capability for the services rendered, including CY and container flight station services. Value addition services can be provided like labeling, packaging, kitting, barcoding, and palletization and other authorized services by keeping the goods over there. All such activities which are exempted from the service tax, as well as any purchase of the packaging material, labels and the like from the DTA into FTWZ, would also be treated as an export from such a suppliers. And in case of the deemed export, factory stuffed containers entering into the FTWZ are treated as a deemed export, providing the immediate export benefit. All the taxes like CST, sales tax, excise, VAT on all activities conducted inside the FTWZ are exempted. So increased efficiency through the lowered reverse logistic activities through quality control before dispatch from India. Lowering of the back to town cost with the better aggregation and consolidation. Facilitating consolidation of the cargo, consolidation with other users of FTWZ for the cost optimization through the last mile distribution. Value addition that can be provided, availability of the container storage yard, then free foreign exchange transaction that is permitted. Now, having understood this FTWZ, let us move to understand offshore banking unit. Offshore banking unit is the branch of an Indian bank which is located in special economic zone. Okay, with special set of rules aimed at facilitating export from the region. As law defines, it is deemed foreign branch. As law defines, it is the deemed foreign branch of the parent bank situated within India, and it is undertake the international banking business involving the foreign currency denominated assets and liabilities. Okay, so let us consider to understand this offshore banking unit of the bank, which is located in SEZ. The concept comes as a practice, and OBU, that is offshore banking unit, can accept foreign currency for the business, but not domestic deposit from the local residents. Some restrictions have been put. This was conceived to prevent the competition between the local and offshore banking sectors. What was needed for the OBU? What is required? Power, tax, and other incentives like SEZ. Policymaker felt that it needs to be provided SEZ developers also access to the global money market in international trade. In 2002, RBI instituted OBOs, which allowed virtually as a foreign branches of Indian Bank. These would exempt from CRR, SLR, that is the deposit which is required to be placed or in amount to be invested in the securities, that is cash reserve ratio and statutory liquidity ratio, CRR and SLRR means, and few other regulatory requirements are not applicable in this unit. RBI regulation make it mandatory for the OBOs to deal in foreign exchange, source of their foreign currency funds externally, and follow all the prudential norms which are applicable to the overseas branches, and also entitled for the income tax exemption. Thus, in many respects, they are free from monetary controls in the country. They are free. Now, offshore banking unit, OBUs in special economic zones, eligibility criteria that we know that public sector, private sectors and some other bank who deals in foreign exchange, these banks or such banks having the overseas branches and experience of running OBUs would be given preference. That is what it says. Licenses. Banks, those who intend to open their branch or office in SEZ, in OBU, they require to obtain the banking, as per the Banking Regulation Act, they require to obtain license from Reserve Bank of India. The parent bank's application for the branch licensing, it is mandatory. And the purpose of conduct of the business required to be mentioned to the Reserve Bank of India for opening the OBUs. No separate authorization in respect of OBU is required. As currently, in respect of the designating the specific branch for the conducting the foreign exchange business, parent bank may designate the branch in SEZ in OBU. Now the capital requirement. Since OBU would be the branch of the Indian banks, no separate assigned capital for such a branches would be required. However, with a view to enabling them to start their operations, the parent bank would be required to provide minimum of $20 million to its OBU. Reserve requirement, as I said, CRR and SLR are totally exempted. So there will be no cash reserve ratio or cash reserve requirement or statutory liquidity ratio that is required to be maintained. Deposit or investment is required to be maintained by this OBU. Resources and deployment. The sources for raising the foreign currency funds would only be the external. They cannot borrow it from the parent country. And funds can also be raised from those residents who have a source of extent, such as residents are permitted under the existing exchange control regulation to invest and maintain the foreign currency account abroad. Then deployment of the funds would be restricted to lending to the units which are located in SEZ. If funds are lent to the resident in domestic tariff area, that is DTA, existing exchange control regulation has to be complied with. Permissible activities for the OBU consist of all form of the business mentioned in the Section 6(1) of Banking Regulation Act 1949 and subject to the condition of licensing issued by the OBU branches. Prudential regulation. All prudential regulation are applicable to the overseas branches of Indian banks is applicable to the OBU also. OBU would be required to follow the best international practices of 90 days payment delinquency norm for income recognition, asset classification and provisioning. That means NPA classification should be 90 days, based on the 90 days payment basis. All the OBUs may follow the credit risk management policy and exposure limit which is set out of their parent banks, duly approved by their boards. OBUs are required to adopt the liquidity and interest rate risk management policies. Similarly, banks' board would be required to set a comprehensive overnight limit for each currency for the branches, which would be separate from the open position limit of the parent bank. AML, anti-money laundering, they have to follow the strict KYC and other anti-money laundering instructions issued by RBI, with a view of ensuring that anti-money laundering instructions are strictly complied with by the OBUs. They are prohibited from undertaking the cash transactions and transactions with the individuals. This is very important because the cash transaction is not permitted in OBU, and taking deposit or money from the individual is also not permitted. Okay? OBUs will be regulated and supervised by RBI as usual as hitherto, and Exchange Control Department of Reserve Bank of India. Ring fencing activities of OBUs. OBUs can obtain or operate and maintain the balance sheet only in foreign currency and would not be allowed to deal in Indian rupees, except for having special rupee account for the purpose of their day-to-day expenses. Branches would be prohibited to participate in domestic call notice and term, etc. So money market and payment system is strictly prohibited. Then operation of the OBUs in rupees would be minimal in nature, and any such operation in the domestic area would be through the authorized dealer distinct from OBUs, which would be subject to the current exchange control regulations. OBUs would be required to maintain a separate nostro account with the correspondent bank, which would be distinct from the nostro account maintained by other branches of the same bank. Okay, and the ADs dealing with the OBUs would be subject to FED regulations. Priority sector lending, strict norms are not applicable to the OBUs. Deposit insurance will not be covered under this. Any deposit in OBU will not be covered under deposit insurance scheme. Priority sector lending norm will not be applicable to these banks. Now coming down to the latest one, that is International Financial Services, IFSC, which has come into the effect since 2015 as per the notification of the FEMA number 339 for the setting up of RBI's regulation relating to the financial institution to set up an International Financial Service Center, IFSC. Regulatory and supervisory framework governing the OBU setup and IFSC will be approximately similar to the OBU, but let us have they have issued the revised guidelines by RBI for the units in IFSC. Okay, eligibility criteria that Indian banks can open, same eligibility criteria, they have kept it as it is. Licensing, yes, very much required from Reserve Bank of India. Capital, $20 million as required for the OBU, same is required here also. And minimum prescribed regulatory capital, including for the exposure of IBUs, shall be maintained on an ongoing basis at all the parent level. Reserve requirement, that is liabilities, CRR and SLR requirement of the Reserve Bank of India is exempted to this also. Resource deployment, same. Raising the funds, including the borrowing and the foreign currency, will be a person not resident in India and overseas branches of Indian banks. That is the difference. Okay. Deployment of the funds can be with both person resident in India as well as person not resident in India also. Permissible activities, one is IBU can undertake the transaction with the resident for deployment of the funds and non-resident for both raising the resources and deploying the funds. Entities other than the individuals, including HNI and retail customers. Okay, then all transactions in IBU shall be in currency other than INR. IBU can deal with a wholly owned subsidiaries, joint venture of Indian companies registered abroad. RBI will not prescribe for raising any short-term liabilities from the banks. However, IBUs must maintain the LCR as applicable for the Indian banks in standalone basis and strictly follow the liquidity risk management guidelines issued by the Reserve Bank of India. Further, NSFR will also be applicable to IBUs as and when it is appropriate to the Indian banks. Okay, foreign currency account of the units operating in IFSC, they are permitted to open. Okay, then they can also open the foreign currency account, including the escrow account of their corporate borrowers, subject to the provision of FEMA 1999. However, IBU cannot raise any liabilities from the retail customers, including the high net worth individuals. No check facility will be available for the holders of the current account in IBU. All transactions through these accounts must be undertaken via bank transfer, and IBUs are permitted to undertake the factoring and forfeiting activities also, which generally domestic banks are not that much interested to do that. Okay, then IBUs are permitted to undertake factoring, forfeiting for the export receivables. With the prior approval of the board of directors, IBU may undertake the derivative transactions, including structured product that the banks operating in India have been allowed to undertake as per the extant RBI directions. Further, RBI's prior permission is required to be obtained for offering any other derivative products. Before seeking RBI's approval, banks shall ensure that their IBU has the necessary expertise to price, value, and compute the capital charge and manage the risk associated with the product or transaction which they intend to offer to the public, and should also obtain the board approval for undertaking such transactions. Okay. In respect of ADR, GDR, they are permitted to participate into and temporarily hold the subscription which is received for ADR and GDR. Okay. Then IBUs are also allowed to act as underwriter and arranger of the Indian rupee INR denominated overseas bonds issued by the Indian entities in overseas market. Okay. IBUs can accept the fixed deposit in foreign currency of a tenor less than 1 year from non-bank entities, and can also repay the fixed deposit prematurely without any time restriction. Clearing membership. Professional clearing membership of the exchange in IFSC for clearing and settlement of the derivative segment is very much required. And this membership for the IB units in IBU is subject to condition that IBA shall have approval of bank's board and put in place the effective risk management controls. IBU may, as the PCM for the derivative segments, it also guarantee trades executed by the client as the trading member of the exchange. This will be also subject to the condition that the total exposure which the bank would take on its registered clients should be determined by the board in relation to the net worth of the bank and monitored regularly. However, IBU should not guarantee any transaction which is other than what is required in its role as a PCM. IBU shall ensure the strict compliance with the various margin requirement as may be prescribed for by the bank's board, as also to the extent of RBI guidelines regarding the guarantees issued on behalf of the commodity brokers. There are various other guidelines also. These are the simple very conditions, and they have to coordination with the PCM has to have the regulatory coordination with the regulatory bodies, and allowed IBUs are allowed to extend the facility of the bank guarantee also, and short-term loans to IFSC stock brokers. IBUs are also allowed to participate in exchange-traded currency derivatives. Prudential regulation, all prudential norms applicable to the overseas branches of Indian banks would apply to the IBUs. Specifically, these units would be required to follow 90 days payment delinquency, that is NPA classification, same as OBU, IBU also in IFSC has to follow the same prudential norms also. Then exposure selling is, exposure selling for the IBU shall be 5% of the parent bank's tier 1 capital exposure norms in case of the single borrower, and 10% of the parent bank's tier 1 capital in case of borrower group. AML requirement and combat for the purpose of combating the financing terrorism, that is CFT, that is strictly required to be followed by IB unit. Exposure selling, regulatory regulation and supervision. The IBU will be regulated and supervised by the Reserve Bank of India. Ring fencing activities of IFSC, that is IBU, would be operate and maintain a balance sheet only in foreign currency and will not be allowed to deal in Indian rupees except for the special rupee account of the convertible funds defray their administrative and statutory expenses. Such operations, transactions of these units in INR would be through the authorized dealer distinct from IBU, which would be subject to the extant foreign exchange regulations. Ring fencing activities also consist of IBUs are not allowed to participate in the domestic call, notice, term, forex, etc. A IBU also required to maintain a separate nostro account for their operations with the correspondent banks, which would be distinct from the nostro account maintained by other branches of the same bank. Priority sector lending norms are not applicable. Deposit insurance also will not be covered, and also all the deposits should not be covered under deposit insurance scheme, and no liquidity support will be available to IBUs from the Reserve Bank of India. With this, we cover our chapter number 4, where we have seen all the new type of the units, a new development which has come into the foreign market. IBU, OBUs, Special Economic Zone. This is for the purpose of development of the export so as to reduce the gap between balance of payment. With this note, we conclude our chapter number 4. Thank you very much.